Okay. Hey.
Catch a vibe. We're gonna get you to the other side. Going you way back to the time. Reminisce and relax your mind. And catch a vibe.
Catch a vibe like a throwback. You with the bridge, about to turn it up. Picture perfect, no Kodak. And ain't no holdbacks. We getting real, getting raunchy. We bridge millennials, baby. We keep it saucy.
Tag team back again. Welcome back to the bridge. Welcome back to the Bridge Millennial Podcast, everyone. If you are just joining us today, we are the Bridge Millennial Podcast, and we are the shared perspective of the Bridge Millennial generation on culture, media, mental health, and society. Of course, I am the ravishing Shannon Ashlea.
And my name is Rob. What's happening, everybody? So glad to be here. Welcome back, Shannon. I feel like it's been a minute and I'm really excited. I feel really refreshed and charged up.
And we definitely have a refreshing, something fresh and new for you all today. So, you know, me and Rob was talking, right? We was talking. And what we want to bring to you all is something easier for you to chew. We still want it to be nutritional. We still want it to be fun, okay? But we wanted to bring you just something that was packaged in something a little bit more bite-sizable, okay? So we have a new show run for you today. We're debuting a new segment, a little bit of the old, a little bit of the new, and I'm really excited to get into it. It's definitely been a long journey this season, and we're still going. We're not done. But yeah, we got something around the bend for you all. So Rob, tell the homies what's up.
Okay, let's go ahead and jump into today's content with Spin the Block. Okay, so for Spin the Block, I wanted to actually chit-chat a little bit about some new studies that was conducted by the Thriving Center for Psychology, and it shows that people are starting to actually conduct full-on background checks on their online dates. And even more shocking, it finds that they're actually perfectly okay with being labeled a cyber stalker. Nearly 3 in 10 singles are spending about half an hour going through their dating's online history. And then 18% of those confess to actually conducting and paying for an official background check. So my question to everybody is, before the internet, what was there an equivalent of like conducting a background check on somebody before you actually date them? Like, how did people get this much information before the whole worldwide internet blew up?
Honestly, I feel like that was kind of the issue. That's why you had so many like grifters and so many con artists really making their way before the internet. I think before the internet, it was definitely word of mouth. It was definitely, I heard it through the grapevine. Well, I heard this and I heard that. And, you know, the only time I feel like, because I mean, before the internet, the only time anybody really got exposed like that is if they were like a serial killer or if they were a celebrity. I feel like it's all kind of retroactive at this point. So honestly, I feel like the old school way of really doing a background check is asking everybody in the neighborhood, asking people who know people. What's up with this person? What's up with this guy? What's up with this girl?
Would you pay to have a full background check completed on someone before going out on a date with them?
That's a good question. It depends on how much money. But honestly,
we're talking like $20.
Well, honestly, I don't necessarily know, just because a background check is going to reveal if you have some type of criminal record, right? And I think that that is important to know, especially when you're dealing with somebody. But I think that, I don't know, because I don't know if knowing that somebody has a criminal record would deter me from dating them. I've dated several people with a criminal record. Not everybody, but I've dated a couple of people who, you know, have definitely been to jail.
Hold on, spin the block more than one time. What do you mean, not everybody? Who you talking? Shannon is shady.
No, what I'm saying is, is I have dated some people who have a record that doesn't always deter me from dating them, but it does deter me from. I don't know. I think at this point it would deter me from taking it seriously, depending on their record. So honestly, would I pay for a background check? Yes, if I was suspicious. Though, yeah, if I was just wondering if this was a person who maybe seemed like they were holding a secret or being secretive, if there was some funny stuff or some fishy stuff going on, then yes, I don't think I would go so far as to pay for it otherwise, unless I suspected something was going on.
Okay, so you would have to already have some sort of suspicion, you know, after you're saying after meeting this person, or what would kind of give you suspicion to do a background check on someone that you have not went on a date yet with?
I wouldn't do it for somebody I haven't gone on a date with. So
got you. Okay. For me, I never thought about it. I know for sure having a criminal background is not going to deter me from dating. But similar to you, if certain things, just the greens ain't all the way cooked, and I'm hearing stuff like people you've dated have come up with restraining orders, or, you know, just I'm just hearing a lot of stuff, I would probably break up with you. But if I felt like I actually wanted to make it work, I would do a background check. But I would be hesitant, just because it's once you do a background check, how do you feel about, do you feel like you're, let's say you do a background check on me and nothing comes up. Would you now tell me that you did a background check, or is that going to be a secret that you kind of keep to yourself? That's kind of my moral dilemma. Once you do the background check and you want to continue the relationship, how does that sit between y'all?
Like I said, this is why I just don't feel like I would do it unless there would be a good reason why. I feel like this is what I feel like. I feel like there's a bigger overarching issue here. It's not really about background checks. It's about people trying to skip steps in getting to know somebody. And I think that, also think that that's what I said. This is not really about the background check, is it? I think it's more about the dating climate, which is why everybody, if you haven't noticed, this is a dating episode. If you listen to our last episode, you will note that at the very end, we say that we have something special for the singles and the people who are dating. So this is our dating episode. I forgot to mention that earlier, but I think there's a bigger overarching issue. The dating climate right now is such that, you know, people don't want to waste their time. I think people feel like their time is money. This is definitely the microwave generation. I feel like, especially with the pandemic, a couple people feel like they lost some years. I feel like me too. You know, I'm coming up on 34 years young, and, you know, during the pandemic, we were kind of stuck inside. So I feel like people are really trying to rush through the process. People are trying to rush through the process and try to get to know somebody's history. Instead of the old-fashioned way, a newfangled way, so they can say, okay, let me count this person out. I really think that especially women, I feel like, are getting very serious and intentional about dating, because it doesn't seem like, this climate isn't conducive to finding a lasting partnership. I know I can only speak from the heterosexual side, as far as that's, you know, I date heterosexually, if you want to put it like that. I date men, and I feel like that's kind of the common consensus that it's a fucking mess right now. So people are trying to rectify that. And I think that that's kind of a side effect of it.
I love that perspective, because it also sheds light on one of the other things that kind of feels different about dating, at least for me. Remember back in the day where you had your Redman, Method Man, down ass chick, love was described as way more of a loyalty factor. And I think that maybe that's because dating was a higher risk back then. You know what I mean? Like, you put more up in terms of getting to know someone. You put more up. So when you kind of, y'all both found yourselves in that natural chain of getting to know each other and kind of risking it all, so to speak, it did kind of make the love a little bit more romantic in a real Bonnie and Clyde type of way. And I really feel like it's hard to get that type of connection with someone nowadays. So maybe what you're saying in terms of the rushing past the typical ways of getting to know someone, with that comes also you're entering a relationship extremely safe. So you're not putting as much of your heart and your loyalty up for like leverage. What do you think about that?
I can absolutely agree with that. And I think it has a lot to do with like dating burnout, fatigue. I definitely know for me, I have dating burnout in the way that, you know, you go through this process and every time you meet somebody, you have to open up and be vulnerable. That's emotionally taxing. And so I think that people are, you know, in general, maybe just tired of doing that over and over and over with the same result. And so I think that if they feel like they can learn a little bit more about this person up front, because of course, when you date somebody, they're going to show you the best version of themselves. And you do the same thing. It's kind of just commonplace. But I think that people now are so jaded and say, that's not enough. I know this is the best version of yourself, so I need to know the worst version of yourself. And I think it kind of just goes a little something like that. And it has me thinking also, because, you know, I had another question that was sparked when you talked about how dating used to be a little bit more high risk, about how it was a lot more Bonnie and Clyde. And listen, I'm from the South. So in the South, things are a lot more Bonnie and Clyde, at least for me. You know, the men in the South were just, they're more gentlemanly. They'll hold your hand in public. I found that when I moved up here, first and foremost, there was a different approach to love. It was a little bit more cold. I ran into more guys that are like, I don't hold hands in public. That, you know what I mean? In the South, you're going to see couples holding hands, doing a dance, skating together and stuff. And so not only was it that culture shock for me, but then as time went on, it's just almost kind of like nobody's looking for anything serious. Everybody is, you know, trying to get their shit together. So nobody wants to be with anybody. It's just like, it's really interesting. But I wanted to ask you, Rob, like, in lieu of, you know, dating, the risk feeling like it was more of a risk back in the day, do you date differently now than you did when you first started dating? Like, do you remember your first date, your first, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. How is it different?
Well, like when I first started dating, it was like I was taking ideas from like, it was a more, I don't want to say calculated, but it was every moment and every detail of the date was important to the person that I was dating. So I would be taking time to get to know, like, what are your favorite movies? What are your favorite moments and stuff like that? And try to recreate those things for our date. So it was very like Disney romance type of thing for you. But that was a time where we both were invested in taking time to get to know each other and kind of willing to put more of ourselves out there in terms of emotions and stuff like that. So it's kind of easier to gauge a little bit more of who the person is that you're dating. And so, yeah, I wanted to do those super romantic types of things. Now, as I'm dating, I feel like it's more of, a lot of people come to the table with a checklist. And so I feel like we don't really get, it's harder for us to get to that emotional vulnerable space. Like, we have our guard up for a long, like the first part of the dating situation. So the honeymoon of it all feels different. It doesn't feel like super magical and super swept you off your feet kind of thing. So now I kind of have to kind of hold back, because I find that when I do a lot of like romantic types of things, it actually can scare someone away. They can feel uncomfortable with that. So I have to kind of like hold back and try to gauge what a person's individual particular language is and what their particular comfort zone is. Everything is a lot more specific into what a person can handle in terms of you expressing your emotions to them, which is kind of strange, but that is where we are today.
I mean, that was beautifully said, and I agree. And I don't know if that is, you know, I feel like it's part that we're getting older and everyone's just a little bit more jaded. Everyone at least has had a couple heartbreaks by now at our age. But also the climate in society is different. And I believe that we're not only jaded from dating ourselves, but then there are dating shows. You know what I mean? Because when we invest ourselves in these dating shows and all of these other, you know what I mean? And these,
okay,
scripted shows, okay, we also feel like we're getting our heart broken over and over again. You know, yes, what I mean? It's like we're yes, also living those experiences over and over again. And you know, you said something about like how, you know, in the beginning there's really no honeymoon phase anymore. I feel like when we were younger, it was definitely like idealistic. It was like, okay, we're in love, mm-hmm, we most definitely might get married. Like it, okay, that was the vibe. Vibe, but now it's just I feel like, especially at our age, I feel like millennials are in a weird space. The single millennials are in a weird space where it's almost like, okay, we've met somebody, we like them. What exactly are we moving towards? And it's like we're feeling emotions, and you know, you're human, so emotions will arise. But you know, I think, you know, when we were younger, we attached our emotions with, this is going to go somewhere. I feel for this person, so this is going to be special. This is going to be serious. And I think that's the difference. For me, it's like emotions will arise, but the situation is what the situation is. And I feel like at this point, how I date differently is I kind of compartmentalize my emotions with the practical nature of who I'm dating, if this is going to work out. I remember somebody that, you know, I was interested in and briefly seeing said something that really got to me. And they were like, wow, you just have like an old school romantic vibe to you. And this person is at the tail end of the millennial this person is at the tail end of the millennial generation. But yeah, I'm a romantic, but I just thought that was so funny because he's like, you got an old world romanticism about you. And I'm like, not old world. Like, this is how
I'm giving old world. I'm giving old world 100%.
It's giving old world romance. It's
whatever.
Definitely giving Romeo and
old
Juliet.
World romance was good. Pull up on me.
Yes. Pull up. But yes, okay. That was lit. That was lit. That was our first Spin the Block segment. So Spin the Block is a little bit of the old, a little bit of the new. We're going to try to bring it in today and to bring it into present day issues, right? Because we're growing up. But sometimes it's good to kind of go back and reference where we've been and compare it to where we are. So thank you so much for that. First Spin the Block segment, Big Rob, we appreciate that.
All right, so yeah, and that was our Spin the Block, but let's go ahead and pick things back up with our Mental Health and Society segment.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
So for Mental Health and Society, I wanted to kind of bring up this concept by this particular psychologist named Robert Steinberg, and he came up with this theory that love is based on three particular domains, or I guess aspects, depending on how you consider it. He says that it is a category of intimacy, which is an emotional bond, commitment, which is a cognitive or mental bond, and passion, which is the physical bond. And now, according to that theory, which is called triangular love, and I thought it was a little bit more spicy when I read that, but according to that theory, the presence of one or two of these things mark its own special type of love. So, for example, you can have intimacy and commitment without passion, or you can have commitment and passion without intimacy, or any combination of two, or you can just have one of these types of things and have a particular type of love. But the presence of all three of them defines one of the most strongest types of love, which is called consummate love. And so I wanted to open the floor a little bit to talk about like our experiences with these things, intimacy, commitment, and passion. Do we agree that those three things have to be present? Are we able to settle for just two out of three? And also, is this even an accurate understanding of what considers itself to be the ingredients of a loving relationship? Can you have zero of these things and still be in love?
Well, I'm gonna flip it backwards. Can you have zero of these things and still be in love? I don't believe so. I think that actually encompasses, because I feel like a triangle is one of those perfect geometric shapes that, you know, when it's equal, like an isosceles. An isosceles, I think two or longer. But when it's an equilateral triangle, you know what I mean? It's kind of perfectly balanced. And I think that, you know, there was a good start with the concept of those three as kind of the foundation. For me, I definitely feel like I cannot have all three. I feel like in a romantic relationship, I can't have just two, just one. I would need to have all three. And that's probably the reason why I'm still single, because I do have that standard for a relationship. Uh-oh. 'Cause I feel like sometimes when one of those is missing, the relationship is off balance. And so when one bad thing happens or one thing happens to knock you off kilter, you kind of just fall, right? So that's kind of how I feel about that.
That's interesting. I would definitely agree that I feel that for to be in love, like when we're talking about romantic relationships, I do think that all of those things have to be present. I don't think they need to be equally as strong. Like, I think your preference of how you interpret your relationship and how you interpret like long-term and sustainability is going to really depend on which of those things are more important to you. So for example, some people are more physical than others. For some people, that passion is more physical than others, but I don't think that passion is isolated to a physical connection. I think passion, it could be a cognitive or mental connection as well, you know? So I do think that intimacy, commitment, and passion are important. I just don't think they necessarily correlate with what, you know, Dr. Steinberg is saying. It's like intimacy is your emotional bond, commitment is your cognitive bond, passion is your physical bond. I think that they're a lot more fluid than that. Now, I can see myself like dating someone without maybe one of those things. Like, you know, when you meet someone, it's kind of like, oh, I'm interested to see where things can go. So if it's just open-ended dating, I'm interested to see where these connections can go. And for me, it's typically usually like maybe an intimacy bond, like we somehow connect emotionally and then we build that passion based on that intimacy, and then we build that connection based on that passionate history. But I'll be willing to see where things can go. If we don't have any of those things, or if we start off with those things and they just disappear, I might do a background check because I'm concerned.
And I absolutely think you can grow into those qualities. I definitely think that part of dating is trying to see whether you can have all three of those with each person. And sometimes I feel like things happen in different orders. And I think that's kind of what makes relationships unique. Sometimes, you know, the physical connection is there first and then everything else is built. Sometimes there is an emotional connection and intimacy in that way. And then other things are built from that. So it can flip flop anyway. And that's why I said an equilibrium equilibrium. True, you can turn it either way and something else can be on top in a relationship for another person, for a specific relationship. Like you said, I've dated people where, you know, sex was on the very, very top of their food chain. Now, I do think that there were some other issues attached to that.
Okay.
But you got to know. and those issues were addressed at a later date. We were not together at that time. But when we came back together, it was definitely like a moment like, hey, yeah, I was definitely addicted to sex at that moment. But that aside, I really feel like it's validating when you're in a relationship with somebody and they're kind of like gaslighting you, like y'all are not having sex enough when you're having sex so much. And then for them to come back and say, actually, you know what? I was addicted to sex at that moment. You know, that is validating because at that time, honest, I was just like, damn, I feel like I'm doing everything I can do. Like, you know what I'm saying? I gotta sleep sometimes. Okay. And I definitely feel like for a female, I have a very high sex drive. So that's why it was kind of weird to me. But that aside, I do feel like it can go any way. And your relationship is specific to you and your partner or whoever it is you're building with. So it doesn't, like you said, Rob, one doesn't have to trump the other. One doesn't have to be on top. It can be a little bit of this, a lot of the other two. You know what I mean? You have to figure out what works for the specific person.
Agreed. So, yeah, I mean, that's I agree with that 100%. I think that it's more important to really just think about the ways that you are looking to connect with that person. And just go from there. Sometimes we overthink how we style and form our relationship. That's one thing that has been really, really present in today's world. And as things gotten, as time goes on, just people want to scientifically analyze so much more. But I think that if you connect and you rock with somebody, let life happen to y'all and then just see how life kind of, you know, like y'all can have experiences that you wouldn't have even thought. And that just brings y'all closer. So take the risk, take the chance and, you know, give it the college try. So that's what I got from mental health and society. And I'm going to slide over to Shannon's house to see what we got going on for the red light district.
I want to be touched. Feel it so much because everybody needs some good loving.
Yeah, if I need it in the morning or the middle of the night,
I have to find the bed.
All right, so today we're going to wrap it up with an interesting topic. Now, I know that y'all are out there dating, and I know that y'all are out there doing your best, but also I do know that the people have needs. We have needs. And I know that some people, you know, at some point need to have a sexual relationship, whether they are in a committed relationship or not. So today,
let me light a candle for this one. This is getting, all right, Shannon, you came guns a blazing. You said season two is going to season two.
Listen, well, look, we got to be real up in here, okay? Because it's not always rainbows and butterflies. I could definitely come up in here and say, hey, here's some tips for finding a partner or whatever. But sometimes, especially in the dating climate, sometimes that's just not an option, right? Or sometimes you're fatigued and you're done with playing the dating game with the dating apps and the this and the that. So we're going to talk about friends with bennies. We're going to talk about friends with bennies. Okay. Friends with bennies, AKA situationships, AKA entanglements. All right. We want to talk about friends with benefits and we want to ask ourselves, what are the benefits, right? Because when you get into a friends with benefits situation, you kind of always, most people lean on the benefit side, right? But also the word friend is in there. And I want to remind you. Yes. I want to remind you that a friends with benefit situation isn't simply, I'm going to call you when it's time to fuck. Okay. That is a booty call. All right. When you have a friends with benefits situation, you still have to be cognizant and considerate of the other person, much like you would do for a friend. So let's get into do's and don'ts for friends with benefits. Do's and don'ts. Let's get into it, okay? How do I know? Don't ask me how I know. Just listen, okay? I didn't do no research on this. This is straight from my own head. This is straight from my own advice. So
wait a minute. At your own risk.
Okay. Friends with benefits, do's and don'ts. Okay. This is very simple. All right. Do be honest. Okay. That's kind of self-explanatory. All right. Any lasting like entanglement or agreement has terms and conditions. All right. It's great to be upfront about your wants and needs in a friendies with Benny situation. All right. So that means set your boundaries. Okay. That way, if the other party is not on the same page, they have a clear out, right? So right off the bat, you're like, I can do this, but I can't do this. Tell them what your stipulations are, because every friends with benefits situation does not look the exact same. Okay. And I know for a fact that a lot of people feel like a friends with benefits situation is, I don't need to get to know you, I just need to fuck you. And that is not the case. That is the find you a hooker.
That's all just right? Benefits moving with benefits.
Baby, that's just very much so pay for an escort or a prostitute, okay?
Not find you a hooker, yo.
Well, just because, and I'm not even, because here's the thing, sex work is a line of work, but that is what they do for their business, and they are not required, and you are not required to get to know them before you get to the nitty gritty, but people who are not in sex work and that you're having sex with, they are humans, okay? And if you expect them to just stay robotic and without emotions, you're kidding yourself. All right, so let's go to the next one, okay? So that was a do, be honest. Let's go to the next, don't, okay? Don't make promises you can't or don't plan to keep in a friendies with Benny's situation, okay? We know that things can change in an instant when you are friends with benefits with somebody, right? That means you could meet somebody and you feel like they're actually a potential partner. Maybe you're just not looking for a partner right now. Whatever the case may be, you might, you know, agree to be in a friends with benefits situation, but really end up, you know, feeling like you could have a life with this person, regardless of what that is. Okay. Feelings can be caught. And so being clear about your intentions is the best thing you can do in a friends with benefits situation. So don't make promises you can't keep, right? Be very upfront and intentional about what you want from the relationship. All right. Next, do communicate, okay? Do communicate. Any good friendship, again, the word friends with benefit, any good friendship has its own unique rhythm and routine, all right? So even with your friends, you don't talk to all your friends every single day, right? There's a certain rhythm. There are some friends where you talk to them a couple times a year. There are some friends you talk to them every day, all right? Same thing with friends with benefits, okay? Whether you talk daily or you check in weekly or you only talk when it's time to hang out or to get down, you got to know your rhythm or routine, okay? Because if either party chooses to deviate from if either party just says, okay, you know what? I know this isn't our vibe, but I want to try this. You're going to have to be able to communicate about that, okay? To make sure that you stay on the same page, because you might not want to continue if they want to deviate and vice versa.
That's right.
Or you might say, you know what? I was thinking that we should try this too. You know, we should maybe try to go to the next step of a relationship. You know, you just never know. So yes, do communicate. Here's our next don't. Don't make assumptions, okay? Don't make assumptions. Again,
man, that's true for friends with any type of relationship, friendship, and don't make no assumptions. Assumptions get you looking stupid. Don't assume, just ask them questions.
You know what they say about assuming?
What they say?
It makes an ass out of you and me. Okay. So
okay.
Don't assume that you are exclusive with your friendies with bennies. Okay. Don't assume that you know what's going on in their life if y'all don't have that type of open communication. In fact, assume you're not the only person that they're sleeping with and dating with, and move accordingly unless a conversation about moving in that in another direction is had. Okay. So this is about, to me, for friends with benefits, this is about, yes, setting your boundaries, but also for your protection. In a friends with benefits situation, it can get very sticky. Okay. Sometimes it can get very sticky. Y'all had one good night and now the other person is feeling like, you know, things are changed, things are different. Don't assume that you're the only person that this person is dealing with, okay? Because things can be very complicated on their end. You just never know. All right. So that's kind of my last don't make assumptions. Okay. So we're gonna round up this list. We're gonna round off this list. And I want to also give you one last do. Okay. For a friendies with bennies situation, do have fun. Okay. Do have fun. I think one of the things, sometimes we can get caught up in the dynamics of the relationship, right? What is this person feeling? What am I feeling? We had this great night. What does this mean? You know, or, you know, this person has texted me too many times. They're like, what does this mean? You communicate. All right. You follow all the steps that I gave you prior, but make sure you have fun, because a friends with benefit situation, don't forget about the benefits. We've been harping on the friends, but don't forget about the benefits. You want to be able to have fun with this person. If you cannot have fun with this person, why are you even doing it? You don't need another stressor in your life. I thought we agreed to that when we agreed to friendies with bennies, right? So yeah, y'all, do have fun. And I want to open the floor for Rob to add any other do's and don'ts that you can think of, if you have any, for friendies with bennies.
Oh, absolutely. There's one major don't. Don't do it if you can't handle it. Not everybody is a friends with bennies type of person. If you know that you can't handle that type of sexual relationship, don't do it. But that's all I got.
It's definitely not for everybody. It is not for everybody. But I will say, realize that feelings arise. Do not kid yourself. There's actually an affirmation that I listen to. You all need to check out Beautiful Chorus. They are amazing. And I think their EP is called Success or something like that. And they have these beautiful choral arrangements that fashion themselves into affirmations for you. And, you know, one of the affirmations they have is, you know, as a human, feelings will arise, right? So do not kid yourself and say, well, damn, I got feelings for this person and now I got to cut the situation off or whatever. Feelings will arise because you're a human. Okay. So don't be freaked out when you know, possibly catch feelings for somebody. Okay. That is okay. Do not freak out about that. All right. That is a human thing. But if you follow the rest of the steps, if you communicate, if you assess the situation, if you ask yourself if you can handle it, you will be okay. All right. And, you know, you'll be okay to have a little fun. You'll be okay to stretch this friendies with Benny situation out as far as you can. And please know that most of the time it's a temporary situation. Sometimes you can't be friendies with Benny's. You can't be friendies with Benny's for too long. You know what I mean? Because, again, those feelings will arise. But enjoy it while you can.
Okay, well, thank you for letting us know how to get our situation set up. Everybody getting their body right for their summer. They about to get their bed right for their summer. So thank you for letting us know how we can have a successful casual sexual relationship with someone and also have that friendship involved as well. But thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you are looking to connect with us, you can find Shannon on Instagram at I am Shannon Ashlia. That's IMSHANNONASHLIA. And she also has a show that she co-hosts called Black on the Moon TV. And that's a pretty dope channel. So check that out as well. And you can find myself on Instagram at Robert St. Michael. And I have a show that's the Group Sessions podcast. So you can, if you're interested in exploring some more of those mental health sides of topics and things like that, you can check me out there. And as far as The Bridge, make sure required following, make sure that you hit us up at The Bridge Millennial Podcast online. We are here on Instagram, and then we're also on Twitter at The Glitch Homie. As Shannon said, that we're going to be tweeting, so we're going to be tweeting. All right, and make sure you hit up our link in bio for any updates. We might have some things coming up this year, so you want to make sure that you're in the loop. Turn those notifications on and give us a really good rating wherever you're listening to this show from. So yeah, thanks for kicking it with us, and we will catch y'all in the next episode. Peace.
Bye. Love y'all.